say welcome to a great edition of Talking Tigs, a very special edition of Talking Tigs. Not only is it week one upcoming for college football, since college football is officially upon us, it is also episode number 300 for yours truly's. Happy to be with you folks to do it again for this next season of LSU. Guys, happy to do it. We hit number 300. I'll probably try and find some sound effects to add in after this, but it's been great to do with you all. Happy to do another one with you. And we got a big one coming up this week we got to talk about, but, you know, as we always, or as I like to do, want to check in with you, see how y'all are doing. Welcome to number 300.
Man, 300, that's a crazy number. Feels like, I mean, I still remember our first couple podcasts, covering, I think our first podcast, we were covering the Florida State regional, baseball regional.
Yeah, 2018.
2019, well, the summer of 2019. Going into a football season that we, you know, were optimistic, didn't know what to think, got this guy Burrow in a year two. Is he going to take the next step? A lot of questions, and then sure enough, like, you know, we started off with a bang, and it's been all downhill since then. No. But good to be with you. Good to be talking about week zero leading into week one of college football, and I'm excited to be on the podcast with y'all tonight.
Yes, hello listeners, and happy 300 episodes to Tommy and Scott. It's gone fast, and it coincidentally happens to be what I would consider probably the peak of the calendar year for the Talking Tigs podcast, the start of football season. So that's awesome to say. So shout out 300, shout out the Spartans, not Michigan State. Happy to
shout out Zach Snyder.
Exactly. So we got a little bit of college football this past week, just enough to get in the mood up in jolly old Ireland. That's England. It looked like they had fun there, even though it was pouring down rain the whole game. So hopefully conditions will fare a little bit better in Clemson, South Carolina for the LSU Tigers this upcoming weekend and across the country as everybody kicks off. So awesome to break that down, and let's get into it.
Absolutely. And it's got a... I don't know. It's football's back. I don't know what else to say. We had some good games. One of them was actually on a different continent, different side of the world. That was
Iowa State
against Kansas State. That was crazy. You know, usually that's for the NFL. I mean, I know they've been doing it with college soon. I was going to ask you guys if you would see, I don't know, any, you know, like blue blood SEC teams, specifically LSU doing something like that. I don't think so, just because, I don't know, it seems to be like a Northeast, Midwest type of thing, I guess, because of the Irish, you know, roots or whatever, or, you know, British roots, but seems like a cool thing, gimmick, whatever. And then we also had a game here in Atlanta, too, the SWAC-MEAC Challenge, which Southern, I got to see Trey Holly bust a big run off, but... We're back. Like you said, Tommy, it's week zero. We have week one in front of us. Big slate of games. Of course, the biggest one in our eyes is LSU versus Clemson. And that's what we're here to talk about. So I don't know. Just wanted to toss it up to you guys already. I mean, you could talk about the games this weekend, which I think Virginia Tech, Kansas State provided a good one. Had some back and forth, had some, you know, early season flubs, as Daniel mentioned in our chat. I mean, we started off the first possession. There was a muff punt. So
yeah,
got it going early. And again, like I said, saw Trey Holly bust off a good one. We got some games even before Saturday, which is the main course. We have some Thursday and Friday, but I guess other than this weekend, man, we're going to talk about LSU Clemson, but what do you say about week zero?
Overall, glad college football's back. Enjoyed. It wasn't college game day, but it was kind of like game day light with Reese Davis and EJ Manuel and like another guy going around the league or around the sport leading into that that 11 a.m. kickoff in Ireland. The rain. Man, that looked miserable. I was watching it. I was like, man, I'm glad I'm not there. But, overall, fun game to watch. Iowa State, looked good. Got the upset against Kansas State. I would say I'll also enjoy it. I watched a little bit of that Southern game that you talked about. I actually saw the part of the halftime show with the human jukebox, which is always interesting and fun to watch. And then I saw a little bit of, was it Stanford at Hawaii?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that one and a little bit of the Fresno State. And I don't know. I don't remember who they played. But it wasn't that one. None of these games were super memorable, but it was college football, so I was in for it.
Yeah, the only one that I watched was the Kansas State-Iowa State in Dublin, kind of the big kickoff one there. And yeah, like we said, really sloppy conditions with the rain coming down. They had to repaint the field multiple times, like during the game, because the lines were getting like washed away. Yeah, they showed the guys like during halftime repainting them all, and it was kind of led to some sloppy play on the field as well. I believe they combined for 4 lost fumbles and a fair amount of turnovers and just kind of miscues from 2 preseason top 25 teams. I mean, it was a fairly entertaining game in the end and pretty close, which is what the viewers want. Hopefully that doesn't roll over to some other games like LSU, where maybe it's some early season jitters really being ready to roll, especially in week 0. And hopefully Brian Kelly's got the players tuned in a little better than that. But it did give a good taste for college football, and it was cool to see all the fans having fun at the Temple Bar area and Dublin and stuff. I went there a couple of years ago, and it is pretty cool. I didn't see the stadium where they played, but it was, yeah, memorable and a good start. You mentioned, Scott, like whether we would be interested in LSU ever kind of participating in one of these like big kickoffs. I mean, they haven't really shied away from the big non-conference season opener. I mean, we've got this one lined up against Clemson, and they've done that in a number of past years, but I don't really know what the criteria is to get selected for like this week 0 type of deal. They already said that the thing is lined up for next year too. It's North Carolina and somebody else. I think maybe it said SMU, but I wouldn't be really opposed to it, but I'm not super in favor. The only bad thing is because they were talking about how this was a technically a home game for Kansas State. It's like if LSU lost one of our home games, like playing abroad or somewhere else, that would kind of suck. So I don't think I'd really want to forfeit that. So as it is, I'll settle for this week 1 against Clemson.
You mean lost as in like had less games at Tiger Stadium?
Right, because like this was technically a Big 12 home game for Kansas State, even though it was in Ireland. So like,
I thought it was kind of crazy that, I mean, you know, typically you don't start off with a conference matchup like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of crazy. Like, and next year, like you mentioned with North Carolina SMU, I mean, as much as, you know, as weird as it is, SMU's in the ACC now. So that's a conference matchup to start off week 0.
Yeah. What about this? Just to kind of represent the cultural history of Louisiana, especially Southern Louisiana. I mean, they could also do a game in France or Spain and probably be fine either way. You know, a lot of influence from those countries, especially the Acadians. You know, that's where they all got. That's where they're all derived from. But I don't know. I think it's interesting. Scott Woodward is probably, he's like, I'll listen.
Like because, the price, I mean, is right.
Exactly. Because LSU, along with, you know, they're just one of these teams that can see the eye on the bigger prize, you know, the bigger picture. That's why we've been doing these marquee matchups. But I think for them also, which we'll talk about later, because it's an SEC conference issue now, is they want to add a more valuable game because, if nothing else, the attendance is bad. Right. Who wants to watch LSU pound Chattanooga or North Texas? What Saban was talking about years ago. So these games, now we're going to be playing at Clemson, which we're going to talk about in a second. But that's filling the void of all these bad games that people complain about that the administration wishes people would show up for and, you know, give us the support, you know. It's like, well,
yeah.
I mean, it's UT Chattanooga. You want us to sit in the blazing sun like y'all, like you did what that one game for that? Like, come on, we're not going to sit out here for 4 hours. Give us a break. If it's a night game, which is, I think, like past, you know, it's legislatively binding now. But yeah, if it's a night game in Tiger Stadium, maybe we'll get up for it. But we'd get up more for it if it was another, you know, top 10, 15, 25 conference game, right?
No, I agree. Yeah. I think that But I think to bring it back to the task at hand, let's win our first game of the season before we before we start talking about next steps.
Sure.
Yeah. Our record of the past 5 years has not been great.
Well, the fact that we lost five in a row is caused kind of the tide to shift away from like being excited about these week one kind of big matchups to be like, why can't we just put Louisiana Tech or Nichols on the schedule week one and then kick it off week two so where we can get a little warm. I mean, you can't get around your good opponents, whether they're early or late, but it would be nice to get off to with a one in the W column.
Yeah. Yes. And speaking of, I'd love to hear how you guys think. Well, I know you've already stated last week with your season predictions that you may not believe that LSU can. I think they can. I mean, I'll give some reasons why, but I'm just curious what you guys think about it and what is it about Clemson that, you know, that LSU can overcome. I know you'll probably mention, you know, their returning starters, because I think they were the team with the second most returning starters. I think Arizona State was first with 17. Then there was Clemson with 16. You know, it was all offense and defense. But is it that, or is it something? Do you guys just believe that much in Dabo, or what else is it that y'all guys got, or that at least you, Tommy, have Clemson coming out on top this week?
Yeah, so going back to last week, you know, we predicted all the games. I took a stand, predicted LSU 11-1 with one loss in week one to Clemson. For me, I think that I don't think that they're gonna run away with it. I think we'll be competitive. I just see you look at some of the impact players for Clemson. Obviously, I think that Cade Klubnik is not my, I think it's a toss up between him and Garrett. I think Garrett's the only returning starter in college football with 4,000 passing yards. So Garrett's definitely got the arm. We've seen it during, you know, clips at camp. I think advantage to LSU, I would say on the quarterback side. But where I see Clemson has a huge advantage is on the defensive side of the ball. And we have not, especially their pass defense last year, top 20 nationally. They have TJ Parker, who's a defensive end. He had 11 sacks, six forced fumbles last year, All-American. Peter Woods, he's a preseason All-American this year. He's an inside D tackle. Another one to look out for is Sammy Brown. He is a really highly touted linebacker coming into his sophomore year after kind of being a freshman. He's kind of like the anti Whit Weeks. Like
he's their Whit Weeks.
He's their Whit Weeks. Yeah. Now, I think it's going to be close. I'll save a score prediction for later, but I've got a few keys to how LSU can win. But my gut tells me LSU loses.
And I was kind of in the same vein last week. I gave a 9-3 record prediction, including a week one loss. I just couldn't shake the trend that LSU has of starting off slow for whatever reason, especially considering that Clemson may be the best team that we've played out of all the ones in the season openers the last few years. This is one of our best teams too, but that's just the way it shakes out. The teams aren't necessarily super mismatched one way or the other, but I think that Clemson just has the edges in a bunch of little ways. You touched on their kind of experience. You look at their defense, it's going to be junior, senior, grad transfer almost across the board. A lot of guys returning from their team last year, not necessarily transfers, which could play an impact, especially in week one, if these guys on LSU's team, because we've brought in a fair amount of transfers, especially on the defense, are they going to be fully meshed and good with the playbook and with each other? That remains to be seen, but Clemson, they know what they're doing in that regard. And then I think the big one, which people have harped on quite extensively, is their kind of vaunted defensive front versus our inexperienced offensive line, given that we are returning, I think, only one starter from last year on the O-line, and bringing in a couple transfers and putting in a couple underclassmen there as well. So that's going to be tough. They got to protect Nussmeier. We don't need any week one QB disasters. And so, yeah, TJ Parker coming off the edge for Clemson. It's going to be tough to stop. And then Peter Woods up the middle. LSU does have advantages, I think, maybe in the offensive arsenal in terms of weapons at the wide receiver and running back position. Clemson is pretty thin at running back. I don't know if y'all saw that they just named a converted wide receiver as their week one running back, who's like 6'3", like 235, a big old guy as a wide receiver. But yeah, they're thin there. So that could be an advantage if they get one dimensional early. If they have to rely on Klubnik's arm, that's when maybe LSU can dial up some pressure to get to him in the backfield and get a big play for a loss from Whit Weeks or Harold Perkins or someone else. So yeah, I don't think it's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other, but that Clemson's at home, they've got a strong crowd in their version of Death Valley. So unfortunately, I think the Bad Tigers do come out on top in the end.
And that's okay. We will definitely see in less than a week's time, but I'll explain for the reasons why I think LSU can come out of their Death Valley, Death Valley Junior, mini Death Valley, whatever BK called it, with the win. And it does start with LSU's main starters on defense. I know Clemson's coming back with some guys, but hey, we are too. We have also invested heavily in the transfer portal. A lot of people were probably bummed out because we didn't spend 10 plus million on Bryce Underwood, but, and Kelly said this recently, they had spent about 18 million on this year's team. And that's not just transfers. I would say that's retaining players and just, you know, rewarding, you know, just giving guys a piece of the pie, basically. But like some of the transfers, like you mentioned, I know Clemson had them, but we've got some too. And these guys got some definite starts behind them. And starting with Mansoor Delane, who's BK named as a starter at cornerback. He didn't name the other side. He just said he's going to be one of the guys locking it down for us. The guy's got plenty of history. He went against Klubnik and Clemson, you know, because he played at Virginia Tech. Same with center, starting center Braylon Moore. He also played at Virginia Tech. So, I mean, there's some other things we can get into that he said, but we also have, like you said, our wide receivers and running back core, which Berrion Brown, I just can't wait to see what this guy does. Oh, on top of what we know Aaron Anderson and Chris Hilton can already do. So I don't know. I don't want to bet against that. I think you guys are bold, and I tip my cap to you for calling the loss first game. But I
think
we've
just been conditioned. Like we've been so optimistic the last few years and been burned every single time. Sure. So it's like, okay, it can't happen this time.
I know, but guys, come on. It's Nuss. He was also just named 18. I was going to see if you guys maybe, you know, retract, but Nuss is 18. He's got to be 18. He was a captain. We also had Whit Weeks named as a captain for the whole year. So there we go. And
I think you bring up a good point. The last time we had a quarterback playing with 18 as their number, we had a good run with Matt Mock.
Speak on it.
That's exciting. I think that that says a lot about Garrett. You know, that he's been called on to wear 18. That's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never been one to not be able to talk myself into an LSU win. I can tell you how if we do win, I'm not saying it's not possible. I think that you brought up a good point, Scott, of like the amount of, there's just so many question marks with LSU because of the significant moves we made, especially on the defensive side of the ball. If they all plug and play, man, I mean, this team could be as good as anybody. If we, you know, if you make those adjustments on the secondary, if our defensive line, you know, holds tight, if the linebackers look good, if the offensive linemen, the new, you know, new plugins and the offensive line can provide some safety to Nussmeier. Yeah, this team can easily win. I think that the thing about it, I think Clemson wins by controlling a line of scrimmage with their front seven. I think that, you know, they will, if they're able to play kind of lockdown pass defense and kind of shut down Nussmeier and force us to rely on a run game that has been non-existent. Last year, we did not run the ball effectively. I think that they're able to win. On the other hand, Clemson last year, I was looking up like stats. Clemson allowed over 150 yards per game.
Rushing
150 rushing yards per game, which it's kind of crazy. I mean that's a lot of rushing yards for what you would consider to be an elite defense. So if we can run the ball, and I think that's a key for us, like we got to really run the ball. Obviously, you know, it's the old thing. It takes pressure off of Nussmeier. It makes the secondary, you know, take a step forward, stop, and it can't just play drop back coverage the whole time. I think that opens up some lanes for our wide receiver weapons. And so there's definitely a path to it. I think if LSU wins, it's a little bit more of a boat race and less I would expect LSU to win in a higher scoring game than Clemson to win in.
Yeah, and one other interesting matchup for me is Clemson has a pretty deep wide receiver core themselves. They're led by Antonio Williams, who's kind of their veteran star, who I believe was out most of the year last year with an injury, but it was like a stud before then. And then they had two players, TJ Moore and Brian Wesco, who were true freshmen last year, who played a lot, made a big impact for them. And so now they're stepping up. So that's kind of their core trio, a lot of speed and athleticism on the boundaries. That being matched up against our secondary, who, like we've repeatedly said, is a mixer of transfers and kind of guys with not so much experience. So we're gonna have to contain them in some sort of way with Mansoor Delane at kind of our CB1 probably, and then a rotating cast at the other spot between Ashton Stamps, DJ Pickett, PJ Woodland, and others. So that'll be a big test, especially because Cade Klubnik's got a lot of arm strength. He can try and go over the top and really punish you with big plays, which LSU has been prone to giving up at some points. Last year, our defense, I thought, was at their best when they're kind of like in a chaos-causing mode, like really rushing a lot, creating sacks and turnovers, and maybe you're trying to mask a little bit of lack of athleticism, especially in the secondary, just by kind of keeping the offense on their heels. And it'll be interesting to see whether LSU kind of goes in that same approach or kind of a more solid traditional defense, especially to start the game week one when you don't really know your full strengths and weaknesses. But I think as long as we don't give up a huge chunk and like Clemson puts up seven in the first 2 minutes of the game, like on a big strike, and then we're just on our heels, and that's kind of all she wrote. If we can avoid that, then we got a good shot.
Yeah, no, it gave me images of Tennessee coming to town, and we like blew the opening kickoff, and then they scored. Remember that debauchery?
That was a tough game.
Yeah, so something like that. Yeah, we want to avoid that. Thank you, Daniel, for putting that into the universe, though. I guess with LSU also, I feel like with our wide receivers, we have so many weapons. Nuss said himself, he's like, I mean, how could we not succeed with this wide receiver room? But we also have a good stable of backs. I feel like we have three Clyde Edwards-Hilaires just ready to go at any time. We don't have like want to hear what you guys say. We don't have like a rough and tumble one. You know, Emery's gone. Maybe could have been that, but he was pretty elusive himself. We don't have like a big bruiser back or like a fullback that we're used to, but I feel great about our running back situation. I feel like it could look like Garrett Nussmeier. Well, I mean, Breeze with Pierre Thomas type thing, but I don't know. I was going to mention that he was named captain with Weeks, but did you see the social media post from the football team? The way they have it, it looks like just the impositioned where Weeks looks like he's bigger than Nussmeier. And I know Weeks is not like 6'5 plus, but it looks like the mountain standing next, you know, from Game of Thrones, standing next to Nussmeier in their, in this post they had, which I thought was hilarious. Anyway, but I feel great about LSU's offensive. I think that was the issue. I feel that Nuss is probably more elusive. You know, this is what he's the veteran on the team of everybody. I feel like he has become a little bit more Joe Burrow, a little bit more running capability. And I think that'll be a little bit of the difference.
That's definitely, that needs to be. We saw it last year. We talked about it all throughout the season. He didn't even have a threat of running, and the defense has adjusted to that and, you know, really made it where the pocket would collapse on him pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
I think one other, you know, factor that we haven't really mentioned, and I think it shows, but is going to have to be an X factor for LSU to win this game is Harold Perkins. Daniel kind of, you know, mentioned he you know, you've kind of felt like the our defense last year was playing at its best when they were creating chaos, you know, rushing the passer, making the other offense uncomfortable. Harold Perkins is being, after kind of trying different positions, they're moving him back to what they're calling a star, which is going to be kind of an edge rusher safety type role. If he goes back to the way he was as a freshman, I mean, that could be a huge X factor that we're not expecting, and could really put Clemson in a tough spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and on the quarterback situation, just for LSU, Garrett Nussmeier, he had that, I don't know if you call it an injury scare, but a little tweak in the knee a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully he's at full health. There hasn't really been any reports that I've seen that he's not, but maybe just something to keep an eye on. We know that he's not a dual threat quarterback. He's no Jaden Daniels. But no. If he could just run for one or two first downs, maybe, like, just give us the option, then that would kind of take his game to the next level, to where he's not just a Peyton Manning statue in the backfield. So that could help a lot. And on the other side, Cade Klubnik, Heisman contender, I would say, probably not a favorite, but definitely one that people have an eye on. The same with Nussmeier. So definitely will be a fun quarterback battle to watch. And then I guess the rest of the season, I don't know if y'all saw this stat, that Nussmeier is ninth LSU all-time passing yards, 5,700. Tommy Hodson's number one with 9,100. So Nussmeier's about 3,300 behind, which he had over 4,000 last year. So if he has another same season like that, Nussmeier could finish his career as LSU's all-time passing leader, which is kind of crazy to think. But it's a long season, but we'll see if he can do that. And it would be nice to start off with a nice little 350 in the bag week one, maybe.
Yeah, and think about it. Any even if it's a loss, he could still put up like 350 and get towards that goal pretty easily. And I feel like that's why he's going to have a great day against Clemson. I don't know, man. Just looking at last year, I mean, everybody has returning starters, but I don't know. They just didn't fare too well against stronger competition. And I just don't know that they've added the talent, perhaps like we have, to replace what they lost. I don't know. I guess we could talk about it. We didn't do score prediction last time, right? So we definitely could do that now. I would be curious to hear what you guys think, if it would be like a, you know, just kind of like a good tug of war, offensive defensive battle for both teams, kind of stays low scoring, but, you know, maybe both teams don't score higher than 30 points each, like, you know, like 20 something to, you know, like 17. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'll go with Clemson 27, LSU 24.
I'm not too far away from you. Vegas has Clemson favored by 4 points, which I believe is kind of fair. I mean, they had the home field advantage, so they're saying they would be like a 1 point favorite on a neutral site. So almost as easy even as it would get. I'm a little bit farther apart. I was thinking about this earlier. I'm going to go Clemson 30, LSU 23. Clemson by a touchdown, which makes me sad to say. Hopefully LSU keeps it closer than that and wins. But either way, we'll see. I hope a good performance by LSU, not just a lay the egg moment, kind of like we had against UCLA week one a few years ago.
Right. UCLA, Florida State again.
Wisconsin. we can go back many years. What did they do you have it in front of you what they put the over under at for this one?
Yeah, it's at I thought I did. 57.5, so in Clemson -4, so they're basically saying what is that 20 or 30 to 26 ish.
Yeah. Okay.
Or 31-27.
Yeah, I will go with I'll go with LSU 27, Clemson 24.
Okay. A little that's flip.
That's a solid score. I would take that.
I think if LSU wins, I think we win by more. I think if LSU wins, it's more like 35-28 game or something like that.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm also like you. I'm factoring, well, you know, we haven't really fared too well in games, but I feel like there will be some stuff like, oh man, we could have won by more, but
yeah,
at least we won. So I'm factoring that in that as well. I feel like LSU could win by more, but I don't know. First game on the road, we'll see.
Worst case, we get that nice quality loss.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. As long as it's quality, you know, I dink off the field goal post. Oy vey. But yeah, there's that. I don't know. There's some other good games also, obviously. Which one you got your eye on?
I mean, I think first and foremost, it's got to be Ohio State, Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, a top five matchup, number one versus number three. With the defending national champion, you know, hosting probably the most hyped college football player since maybe Tim Tebow. I think that's probably accurate in Arch Manning. Somebody who's been followed in high school and was like, you know, so touted. And I mean, the guys I saw, the guy has, is it 90? I think he has 90 snaps his entire career so far.
Not many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely looking at that one. That's where College Game Day will be. And this will be Lee Corso's last College Game Day ever, which is kind of sad too. End of an era.
Mm. But I mean, it's understandable. And God bless him. You know, you shared a cool meme where it was Orso kind of ushered in all these guys. And now he's, you know, they're ushering him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of strange that game's a noon kickoff. I mean, I think it's associated with the big noon kickoff program. They might have liked it to have it nighttime in Columbus, but at least it allows LSU fans to watch the entirety of that one, and then LSU comes in at night, so that'll be fun. I'm actually moving this weekend, so I might miss part of that Texas-Ohio State game. Scott's face-palming. Yeah, I know. I couldn't have scheduled it any worse. So I'm going to have to unpack all these boxes, get the TV out of there, plug that thing in, get LSU going with boxes all the way around me. But I won't miss the game. It'll be on my phone, if anything. Yeah. And, yeah, other than that, Notre Dame and Miami are squaring off, two teams that are always kind of preseason hyped up. And although Notre Dame actually had a very solid year last year, being the runner-ups and to Ohio State, that one actually doesn't come until Sunday, so
right.
I guess fans will have to wait one day longer, but it gives us something to watch at least Sunday night.
Say, well, Virginia Tech, South Carolina too, in the afternoon, so we got a little two-course Sunday meal. Yeah, everything else before that, though, it's not as good. I'd say we're probably the last quality game. But I mean, there are some before us. I would say, I don't know. Florida State, it's been pretty down the last few years, but I mean, Alabama, Florida State could be interesting. That's before ours too. That's 3:30. I mean, Georgia's
that's one feels like either like it's a close game till the very end, or Alabama just dumps it off on them and they win by like 40 points.
Right. Or they just, they dominate, but it's just a low-scoring game because Alabama's got to figure itself out too. That's, you know, 1 year removed from Saban. They've got a new starter. They've got a lot of turnover. So interesting. Another one that's, you know, interesting, I don't know, Syracuse, Tennessee. There was, who was it? Collins that went to Syracuse trying to be the starter. Didn't get named starter, but he'll be facing off against Tennessee at Tennessee. That'll be another noon kickoff. But I don't know. I think Tennessee's one of those, what do you call it? Just question marks. They're just a big question mark because they thought they had their starter, but they didn't. And now they have somebody else who could do just as well. You know, it's, again, it comes down to Josh Heupel, I think, and whoever else they have in the barn as far as talent goes. But again, it's at home. I think Tennessee's definitely got the favorable nod there. But I don't know. All in all, great weekend to start us off.
And it starts even before the weekend. On Thursday, they have quite a few games. None, I would say, that qualify as premier, but ESPN doubleheaders, Boise State versus South Florida, and then Nebraska at Cincinnati, kicking off at 8 p.m., so going pretty late there. And then Friday, another number of games, including SEC team Auburn going to Baylor, kind of an interesting one, and then Georgia Tech at Colorado, so two teams that we discussed last week is somewhat intriguing. I think you had Georgia Tech as your dark horse, Scott, and that might have already taken a hit. What was the issue with Georgia Tech? Did their quarterback get hurt or something?
Their coach came out and was like, "Yeah, we're not good."
I didn't see the injury report, but he basically just said, "Yeah, we're not ready to play football yet." Like, gosh, he's 2 weeks out.
I think I'd take a rain check on Coach Prime.
Yeah, I feel bad for my guy Jordan Allen though, because I thought maybe he could still ball out. Build up a name for himself and transfer to Ohio State, like where he was supposed to go. But anyway, I would say it'll be a great weekend. I think LSU versus Clemson's probably the, after Ohio State and Texas, that's, you know, the marquee matchup. And I'm glad that we don't have to wait around until like that last day, right? Like, it's not the Sunday game. And it's not the only game after us waiting around all damn day. I mean, it's still the late game here, but it's, you know, there's other stuff going on too.
Yeah, and then stretches even until Monday on Labor Day proper, TCU going to North Carolina, and that one may be interesting just to see how North Carolina fares under
Belichick.
Belichick, yeah, in his assumption to the college football ranks, which has been storied, and there's been so much off the field stuff going on with that.
You gotta check out what Bill Belichick and his girlfriend.
I know they're gonna be panning to her in the stands like every 5 seconds.
No, I'm telling you guys, she's gonna have a headset on with a iPad in front of her, and she's gonna be calling shots.
She's like probably an on-field analyst at this point.
Exactly.
Remember when he was telling all of his coaches that he needed her to be CC'd on every email?
I just remember when they asked him in the interview what her, like, who she is to him. They like, "This interview's over." You know, he's like, "We can't put a title on it. Sorry."
Daniel, that's a good flag. I was also looking at that that TCU North Carolina game. I think there's definitely some intrigue there.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots to talk about next week, of course. And, you know, we got pro football starting up too. I don't know. Do you guys have any other thoughts about the college football week one? Because I don't know. I feel like we've covered it all. I did want to talk about what the SEC is going to change for next year, because, you know, of course, they've got to change something in the off season to stay relevant. But anything else as far as the games go?
No, I think that's all. The only thing, I'm not sure we even mentioned it, but yeah, LSU at Clemson, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on Saturday on ABC. So tune in there.
Be Herb Street and Kirk and Chris Fowler, the A-team for ESPN. So watch it on the worldwide leader.
Did they name game day?
It's at Ohio State.
And yeah, thank you.
Yeah, they're sending Corso off. He's got to put that Buckeye on one last time.
He's
got to
put it. Yeah, he's got to close the loop. Corso's first ever head he put on was the Buckeye. I feel like he's got to put it on again.
Might as well, right? So one thing I did want to talk about was SEC mentioned that they are going to move to 9 conference games, I guess, starting for next year, and it's welcomed by LSU. They were definitely in favor of it, and kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. But a lot of conferences do this already. They've been chiding the SEC for not doing it, saying that's why we get such favorable rankings, because we don't play 9 conference games and we do have an extra cupcake, quote unquote, scheduled in there. This would basically eliminate that. Although, if everyone scheduled Mizzou, I think that could still qualify depending on the year. Them or Vanderbilt, right?
Yeah.
But I kid. But still, it just forces us to play either another quality or another bottom barrel opponent. I don't know. I mean, there's some really good mid-majors out there. I mean, they're never going to win, but it could be a good game. But I get it. I think the reason LSU's in favor, from what we were talking about earlier, is it can affect attendance. LSU wants a good game in there. That's why Brian Kelly came here. He said he wanted to play these kind of games and win, of course, but he wanted the stiff competition. So if you're adding another SEC team, your schedule can only be strengthened, right? If we say that we're the strongest conference out there, that'll give us another strong game to tout at the end of the year when they're picking and choosing who gets to go in the playoff. What are your thoughts?
I don't hate it. I mean, I think, this is something that I think you mentioned it too. It's like, this is something Saban's been talking about for years. I think he even advocated for a 10 game.
He absolutely did.
Yeah. 10 game conference schedule. So, I don't hate it. That now there are a lot of people I'm seeing who are hating it. Like even the LSU commentators that, I was watching Blake Ruffino the other day. He was talking about how terrible it is, and how you're kind of getting pushed around by the Big Ten for doing it. But I think that overall, I'd like to think that the committee knows the competition in the SEC and will value those games more, and that Because I think that now it's just a fact that moving to a 9-game conference schedule, you're going to take more losses. Like it's just, I think that's just how it's going to go. But overall, I don't hate it, and I think that I think it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, I think it's good because I'd rather watch LSU play an SEC team than play a rent-a-win directional school. The impact that you just said, Tommy, is you're trading a game that you had probably a 95% chance of winning for a game where you're probably going to have like a 50 to a 60% chance of winning. So on the average over years and years, it's going to reduce your total number of wins. Although the corollary is whether playoff and postseason impact will be the same, because they'll say, okay, you played a harder schedule, so we can get you in. It'll be interesting to see whether this leads to the first, because no team has made the playoff with 4 losses. I think there was 1 or 2 last year with 3 losses. But yeah, can a team squeak in with 4 losses? That'd be kind of crazy, finishing the season either 8-4, or if they play a conference championship, I guess 9-4. But it could happen. And I think it'll be fine. I mean, it's not like it hasn't worked for the other conferences. Everybody knows it means more in the SEC, so we're getting more of what means more. So that can't be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I was just curious what you guys thought, because that's definitely going to change things. But it also eliminates that argument or that talking point for other people. Well, now we're playing 9 conference games.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention is that they said they're going to have like 3 traditionally protected rivalries where you play the same 3 teams every year, and they have not announced who those are going to be yet. So that'll be a big interesting thing for LSU is who we draw. Obviously, there's good and bad things with every team, but it'll probably be something like Alabama, maybe Arkansas, Ole Miss, something like that. Although we've been in the mix with A&M the last few years. So whether they want to keep us with them, we'll find out. Scott doesn't seem to be a big fan of the Aggies. And obviously some teams get the short end of the stick there. Like if you draw Texas, Alabama, and Georgia as your 3 opponents, which the rumors are that LSU might be playing all 3 of them next year, which could create like the hardest schedule of all time. We'll see, but it'd be a lot different to get those instead of Vanderbilt, Kentucky, South Carolina, or something.
I feel like Well, who would you, okay? Let's go around. Who would you pick if, as far as permanent SEC opponents for LSU?
If I got to choose, just out of my own wishes, I would probably say Alabama, Ole Miss, and I guess Arkansas. I don't really have any love or hate for them. That's kind of the wild card one, whether I would rather like A&M or even like a Mississippi State is a game that's been played forever, or LSU always has close games with Florida. Like that's kind of been our other big rival that they're probably going to chop.
That's kind of what I was kind of thinking LSU, thinking Bama, Ole Miss, and Florida. I think you have to have Ole Miss in there. I think you have to have Bama. I've seen like projections where they might eliminate the Bama game, which would be crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, but our games have been closer with A&M than they have with Bama. So yeah, I think Bama, they're like, yeah, whatever. We always have Auburn. You don't even care about it. Anybody. We have Auburn, we have Tennessee. Now, I guess you could add Georgia. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say A&M, trust me, but I could see how that makes sense. Florida, yeah, but the way they're going to work it out, they're going to say you're going to play everybody in the conference within 2 years anyway. So if we play Florida every other year, I still think that can keep them in the loop as one of our, hated rivals, because we just do not like each other. I think LSU has – everybody in the SEC has like three or four of those, if not more.
I mean, some of this talk just makes me say – go back to the old ways, kick out the Texas schools, kick out Mizzou, kick out Oklahoma. Let's go back to the East and the West. We have our cross divisional rivals, and the BCS selects the top two teams, and that's how they play for the championship.
Dust off Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson, get the SEC on CBS going.
SEC on CBS. I want Brent Nussberger as the ESPN caller. Let's just go back.
Can we just have the BCS computer argue with Grok about the
I was going to say, like, now with the AI, this is the perfect time to bring back the BCS, because now it's just like the computer knows everything, and if it's bad, they just blame it on AI.
You could exactly. You could always have the, like, that would be a, you know how they do the selection show? Like, what if they just had like the AI talk to the screen?
The whole selection show is just like Kirk Herbstreit typing in his computer, like as a screen share. He's like, which teams will play in the college football championship? And then it's like thinking, and then it spits them out. It's like, all right, it's done. Here you go.
Yeah. I hope that's never the case, but never say never, because who knows? I mean, it looks like it could go that way. I don't know. I didn't have anything else to bring up. I mean, there's pro football, Saints, I just don't think, there's a new, new sheriffs, new guards in town, all that, but I don't know. It doesn't look like it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be anybody's year in the NFC South, although somebody has to come out on top, right? But I just don't get a good vibe from any of them, but who knows? Maybe so.
Well, and they can always tank this year and potentially tank next year for Arch.
Right. Because we know they wouldn't take Nuss.
No. Saints
don't
take LSU talent.
Despite the year that he's about to have. Daniel, quick preseason check-in for you, my friend, because I think the last time you ended up having to get a Burrow jersey. He's got 18 now, although...
I don't like where this is going.
No, just to see. Do you say it's possible for him to lead them to a champ? Well, to a champion? Well, I know, I guess you already... X amount of a championship, maybe, but is it possible?
If Nussmeier wins the Heisman, are you buying a jersey?
Yeah.
I think I could. I mean, I've got 9, and then it would be the second jersey, so 9 times 2 is 18. there's Nussmeier right there. And then last time was before NIL stuff, so my Burrow jersey has no name on the back. It's like the official licensed LSU jersey, but it doesn't say Burrow, and I wasn't going to go like the bootleg route.
Yeah.
But now you can get the real deal with that Nussmeier on it, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's 18, so it could represent a lot of players.
So I was at an LSU store actually earlier today, and they had an NIL Nussmeier shirt. Like, I mean, it had him on it, so I'm sure it's like, part of his deal or whatever, but he's wearing 13. I was like, oh man, like this shirt is ruined.
Yeah.
It might be kind of like a retro, like you got the 13 Nuss. Like, that's a real bald over right there.
I wish he'd have rocked the 13. I think it's good. Kind of like Burrow did. He took the 9 and he went
made
on
it his own.
Yeah, won the Heisman, won the championship. You don't need the 18. I forget who they gave it to that year, but yeah, I don't know who else. I don't know. Would you say Tommy Weeks wanted it? But I don't know. I know Harold Perkins got 7 again. He's got to represent. It's weird to say, but I hope he has a breakout year. I hope he has a year that just, you know, like 7, like we haven't seen in probably a decade or more. Just wow, that guy definitely deserves to wear 7 this year. You know.
No, you're right. We haven't had production out of a 7. Man. And yeah, in probably like a decade, like real, like star power production.
Yeah. I mean, I would say
got the 7 and kind of had a down year and then got injured. Jamar Chase got 7 and then never stepped foot on the field.
Yeah. We're talking about the curse of the 7 for a while. Hopefully that doesn't continue.
Grant right. Delpit wore 7. It had a good year, 2019.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
To go back to 2019 as well, Kalavon Chaisson wore 18 that year. Solid player, solid, you know, leader. And then this is when they started the kind of weird thing where they put the patch on there. So Lloyd Cushenberry was also an honorary 18 at center.
Right. Well, I knew Will from last year. He
Campbell.
Will Campbell had to he wore a patch.
7.
He was number 7, but he wanted to keep the number, or he had to keep the number or something. But yeah, there's that. And he's going to make a good career for himself in the NFL, it seems. But yeah, they gave it to him and we were like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know, all right. Golf clap. Yeah. 18 or 7 for him. But it's like, cause it wasn't a sexy pick, but I mean, the guy definitely solidified himself as a top 10 pick. So yeah. I guess in that case, he did live up to the 7. It's just not one of the positions that we generally associate it with.
That's true. It's a good point.
All right. So I retract my statement a few minutes ago. Anywho, anything else from you guys, or is that pretty much do it for us as we lead up to week one?
Man, I just got to say, bring it on. I'm ready. We got 5 days or 6 days, and let's do it.
Exactly. College football, LSU this week. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers indeed. We'll have it all for you next week. How the Tigers fared, as well as the rest of college football, right here on Talkin' Tigs. So until then, hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe. Stay tuned. Have a great Labor Day weekend. And we'll talk to you next time right here on Talkin' Tigs.